and ain't no wannabes here with some not so nice advice for your writing career. To be clear, no punches will be pulled, but the punch may be spiked. How they like before they get on the mic. To my left, we got the mighty Mer Lafferty, and if I piss her off, believe me, she'll come after me. And her co-host, Matt Evan Wallace, on the right. Yes, she may be half as hype as she can take him in a fight. So settle in, folks, buckle in and boot up. Time to meddle in a way to make your writer shut up. It's hard work, but the perk is that it's fun and exciting. Facebook will still be there when you're done writing. Ditch Diggers! Ditch Diggers!
Coming to you live from our shiny new sterile quarantine room in the Ditch Diggers Manor is the Ditch Diggers with Mer Lafferty and Matt Wallace. What's up, Matt? Any new things going on in your life lately?
Plague.
Yeah.
Famine, war, pestilence.
Mm-hmm.
I guess pestilence and plague are the same thing, right?
I'm not sure. Doesn't one of them involve bugs?
I think that's pestilence, but that's the bugs represent plague.
Oh, okay. So it could be like big bugs like locusts or little bugs like germs.
Yeah. That is how diseases have historically been passed. So, not theological scholars are the Ditch Diggers, obviously. But I do remember the Four Horsemen episode of Highlander, the series, and it was, war, famine, pestilence, and death. So pestilence does represent plague.
Yeah. And I remember the episode of The Office, the drug testing one, where Michael starts running around making jokes and saying, dude, where's my office, and narc and stuff. And then later on has a meeting admonishing everybody else for making light of drugs. And that's how I feel about our current leadership right now, because they were complaining about people making light of the virus. And we don't usually talk politics on here, but that's just fucking stupid.
Well, yeah. Well, we're recording this the day after President Fuckhead's address, in which he was wrong about everything.
And still managed to tank the stock market.
Yeah. Like, not in that, I'm a liberal, so I think these things are wrong way. Like, factually wrong about the policies that they themselves are instituting.
Yeah.
He said all this shit, and then everybody who had anything to do with it was like, wait, no, that's not what's happening. That's not what we're doing. What is he talking about? Which is just really inspiring.
I was reading something about a guy overseas who was set to come home this weekend, who, someone called him at 3 a.m. in France saying, hey, you need to get a ticket home now, because Trump just halted all flights starting Friday. And so he spent a lot of money trying to find a flight home. And then they heard, oh, no, wait, Americans can come home.
Yeah, it's just foreign.
And
national.
Now he's trying to cancel those extraordinarily expensive tickets he just bought. I mean, it's like we had a trip to see my daughter's new school. She's going to Tufts next year or in the fall. Woo. God will. We hope. but we were going to go up and do like a campus visitation, see the dorms, see class, all that. Yeah, that's all canceled. And so, we're feeling annoyed about the money we're eating there. But then it's like the ACC tournament is happening and college basketball is a big deal here.
Yeah.
And so I know there are people who've spent thousands on just basketball tickets. And starting today, there will be no fans in the Coliseum.
Right.
And I'm just thinking, wow, I just had a trip to Boston canceled. I can't imagine. If I were still as big of a basketball fan as I was in high school, finally getting tickets to the ACC tournament and then this happening, that would crush me. And I know we're still just talking about monetary loss, not like all the other shit that's happening right now. But it is the topic of this show, and we're going to try to get it out sooner than we usually do because it's timely and shit changes like every hour almost. But a lot of people are working from home and confused about what to do.
Yeah, which is where we really have our moment to shine, Mer.
That's right.
We've been working from home for, I don't want to say how many years because it just makes me feel bad about myself inside.
You've been a pro writer for several years. That's a good thing.
No, I meant more about how fucking old I am. Not about
I'm
proud of my professional accomplishments. And I love working from home. That's not what I was talking about. But just the... I've just been doing it longer than I had initially thought when I got into that sentence. I was like, oh God, the number I'm about to say is way bigger than I thought it would be when I started this thought, so I don't want to complete it.
You do realize I'm 9 years older than you, right?
I know, you're really old. Like, I'm old. Super old. No, we're fine. We're
asshole.
Both, we're both young and vibrant. You do better shit than I am. You could outrun me any day of the week. I don't know why I'd be chasing you, but if I
I don't know.
You wouldn't have anything to worry about. It'd really be laughable at the end of the day. It'd just be, yeah. You'd actually stop and look back at me while I'm huffing and out of breath. And I'd be just like, give me a minute. We'll continue this pursuit. I just need a second. I need to hydrate.
Mm-hmm.
Carbo load a little bit. Somebody give me some Alfredo.
Or some of that gel.
So, yes.
Power gel.
Yeah. Power gel. Yeah. But anyway. So no, it is it's a thing. So the working from home thing is a thing, and a lot of people like to go outside. It turns out, Mer, who would have thunk?
I don't know. And the thing is, you don't have to not go outside. Most people are not being quarantined. They just have to work at home. So
unless you're sick, I didn't want to say that.
Sure.
Sick, stay the fuck inside. Like whether it's not you probably not saying you have. The plague. It's not the plague. It's not saying you have the coronavirus, but if you're sick at all, I've been sick the last week, and I've quarantined myself, like, from my wife within our house, even. So, that is the thing to do. But if you are not sick, you are absolutely free to go outside. No one is saying you have to lock yourself down 24/7. I think
they're just trying to stop people gathering together in groups.
But, like, I know it is harder for people in, like, densely packed or, like, people, like, you know, all the people I know in New York City proper right now all feel kind of confined, which I get because that's, you know, that New York City is basically a gathering unto itself just as a city, you know.
Yeah.
You're trying to avoid gatherings and you live in one of the most densely packed cities in the country. It's tough, man, and I'm in my agent Slack, and people are talking about that live there, are talking about the productivity problems they're having, you know, being stuck in their apartments and whatnot. And it's a real thing, man. It's like we have to work, but you also have to account for this thing that is an actual pandemic that is happening and that we need to acknowledge. You know,
yeah,
it's tough.
Well, the funny, and I don't want to say funny. Nothing's funny.
Still be funny. Let's not lose comedy. Let's not make everything go. But let's
I meant specifically what I'm about to say, is, people tell me all the time, I wish I could stay home and write full time. And that makes me angry. I'm nice about it. But inside I'm seething because if you don't write when you have 30 minutes, you're not going to write when you have 8 hours. You're going to make the same shitty use of your time that you do right now. And I'm not pointing fingers. The first finger I'm pointing is me, because after doing this for mumble years, I still have problems focusing, productivity, getting together a normal schedule. That's all very tough. And so I think people who are home are going to notice that. I mean, one thing my husband pointed out was, he's like, I'll be able to help out with driving the kid around and stuff and cooking. And I'm like, well, you still have to work. He's like, yes, but I don't have commute time. And so one thing is my husband's a saint and I love him. And the second thing is, even if you are working from home, if you want to be, and you don't write for a living, remember that you now have commute time free and you could either sleep late and get off early, or you could use that time for your creative pursuits.
That's a great structuring tool in and of itself for people who are transitioning from being out to working at home. Because I was going to say, like, with the housework and stuff, as soon as you said that, I was like, I mean, that can become the whole day right there if you're not
exactly
careful, you know. It's like, and you start to think, well, I'm at home, I can do these things now. And you don't realize that that will be your whole day. You will get no work done. So, but if you do, but if you are able to regiment and structure it, like, okay, this specific hour in the morning and this specific hour at the end of the day are when I usually be in the car, mm-hmm. what is the extra stuff I can do with them? That is a good way to not let that happen. So right. I think that's an amazing tool right off the bat, especially since commutes in this day and age are so atrocious. People probably have a lot of commute time banked up, you know. You don't get it back. That's not what I'm saying. But, you know.
Right.
You have a lot of that. I mean, that just adds literal hours to the week.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that. That's a good starting point. And that also feeds directly into the idea of structure and routine that's always kind of central to these this kind of advice, you know.
Yeah.
You got to have structure and you got to have routine.
Exactly. Here's the thing that this helped me more when I was quote unquote unemployed. And I'm using the air quotes here because being unemployed and working from home can often feel the same because you don't go anywhere when you get up. But, and it's not something I do now, but I think if you're new to this and you wake up and you feel lost, this sounds trite, but I swear it helps, is that you still need to get up and get prepared to work. And I mean, like, get a shower, put on pants, eat breakfast, and settle down to work. This was when I got laid off, you know, many decades ago, and I was still looking for a job. This was vital to my mental health because it still made me feel like I was a productive member of society. I wasn't sitting around the house in my bathrobe feeling, you know, eating chips that fall on my chest and watching reruns of Friends. I was, you know, I would try to get up and I would try to get clothes on and I would sit down at the computer and start looking for jobs and stuff. And so continuing with your routine as if you were going to work, that might help.
Right.
That's just it, yeah.
No, I'm just saying, you need to go to work in your mind.
Yeah.
That was really profound. I like that.
Yeah, you need to go to work in your mind. Dress for the job you want. Also, dress for the job you have, even if you're working from home. And, you know, a lot of writers laugh that it's great to be a writer and, you know, you don't have to put on pants all day. And I think that works if you actually do the work. But if you're if you're unsure of how to handle this working from home thing, that is one way to do it, which is still be as professional as you can. Now, I'm thinking about the people who like get up and fix their hair and put on makeup and put on suits and tie their ties. And I'm thinking, well, do that if you want to. But I'm just more thinking like hygienic yourself. This is my new word. Hygienic yourself, put on pants and remember that you. What?
I was just saying, hashtag hygienic yourself.
That's yes.
They've been missing out on the perfect way to get people to wash their hands.
That's right. Hygienic yourself.
They just ask you.
Yeah. So still do go through the motions because that will help you get in the mindset that this is time to work.
Yeah. Put on pants has long been one of the cornerstone kind of tenets of your philosophy. And I think it's a good one. It's interesting because I don't always put on pants, Mark.
Neither
I'm not
I.
sitting here naked, but I don't always put on pants. But I still agree with that philosophically, you know. Again, sure. even if you're just putting on the pants in your mind, you have to put on pants, you know. You have to find your version of pants, is what I'm saying. No, I'm being totally serious.
No, I know. I just like the way you said that. Your version of pants.
You do. You have to find, well, not everybody fucking
wears like, be pants. The pants you want to see in the world.
You are. You got to be the pants you want to see in the world. But that's the truth. It's like, I think what I'm being totally serious when I say
it.
I think the concept is valid whether you're actually putting on literal pants or not. Like, the idea that you are doing the thing that gets you to the next step, you know? Which I think is particularly helpful because I was reading a thread by Sarah Hollowell on Twitter. And she was talking about how she'd read several advice threads like the one, this isn't a thread, obviously we're talking, but she'd read several people give advice on working from home And, you know, they say stick to a routine and separate out your day and stay on schedule. And she was saying that they immediately lose her because her brain just goes to, you know, that's great, but like my brain immediately just tells me no one's going to know if I do these things. I don't have any accountability and I'm 15 minutes late already. So I just better go back to bed and forget the whole thing. You know, she was like, I need more working from home 101 stuff than stay on a routine. And I sympathize with that. I really do. And I think a lot of people deal with that. A lot of people who have ADHD deal with that, you know?
Yeah. I sympathize with that. I was thinking the other day, it's like, I wish I had a boss sometimes. Because when you're the only person who tells you what needs to be done, well, you're also the person who says you don't want to do the things.
Yeah, so, I'm a shitty boss. I'll say that outright. I am the worst possible person you could leave in charge of a writer. It's not great. That you could leave in charge of a writer. I need to enunciate. Again, I've been unwell. I don't know if you can still
hear
your voice. You know, and one thing that helps me is I'm not entirely the boss of me. I'm married, and my spouse Nikki is very good at being the boss of me when I need it. I'm not saying she's bossy. I'm not doing the my wife is automatically in charge of me and I'm not the boss thing. But like I need structure, and she's good at providing that for me as a partner, and she helps me stay on task. And also, her schedule helps my schedule. Because I kind of gear everything towards when she gets off during the day, because like then we get to do our family thing, and like I treasure that time. So like I know that I want to have everything put away by this time, and since I'm home, I do like to take care of things like starting dinner or whatever so we can eat healthier. So like I know I need to get this done by this so I can start this. So her schedule helps my schedule. So if you have a partner that works, that also helps. And I think even if that partner is at home, working from home, I still think you can feed off of each other's schedules. She's not working at home yet because we're in California, so that whole thing hasn't hit us yet. It will eventually. Mm-hmm. Don't worry. We'll all be on lockdown before this thing is over. But you, as you said, Jim is home. So does that hold true? Can you like feed off each other's schedules and keep each other on task?
Yeah, I think so. It's We're kind of moving around each other right now. I'm recording from the guest room because he has to be at his computer in the office, but it's more of that's just a matter of moving some cords and some mics. I get that help regardless because it doesn't matter whether he's home or not. It's like his and Fiona's schedules keep me going because I have to get up and still drive Fiona to school and go pick her up, and that's what I usually schedule my day around. I felt like such a jerk. I filled in a little online thing because I hate the phone. I filled in an online thing to get my dog an appointment, and I said, you know, I work from home, so I'm very flexible, so I just said, mornings are good. And they emailed me and said, great, we have you down for 9 o'clock. And I'm like, oh, I can't do that early because I'm driving the kid. I didn't even think about that. So I had to call back and be apologetic and say, well, yeah, morning, but I meant mid-morning and you guys didn't have that option. So really, it's your fault. Except I didn't say that. The guy was very nice. But anyway, I'm getting off on a tangent. So what are we going to say about the people who are not, don't have spouses or other people?
I thought I would throw that out there for people who do have partners or other
people. Oh, sure.
But no, absolutely. For the people who do not have other people that can keep them on task, I want to throw this out there. Listen, I do a lot of things, all right? I want you to understand I'm speaking from a deep place of practical experience here. I have a full-time job that I mostly do from home. I go into the office maybe a couple times a month, if that, right? Then on top of that, and writing video games is the, so I write, all the jobs I do are writing. So that's the full-time job I do. Then on top of that, I have all the book things I do and this and all the other things I do, like this podcast. So I do a lot of crap from home every day, right?
Right.
And I want to make it clear that there are days when any semblance of schedule or routine or separating out the day goes completely out the fucking window.
Yeah.
Right? Like, just no even pretense of being able to follow any of that. When I'm just like a helpless, sobbing, gelatinous mess of incomplete tasks and pressing deadlines and just anxiety and gray hair. So just picture a gelatinous mass quivering from anxiety covered in gray hair. Picture that in your mind, Murph. Picture it right now.
I don't think you're selling it, man.
I feel like I'm selling it pretty good. And what I do when I find myself in that gelatinous state, and this is one of the things I do, you try many things. And that, actually, that'll be the first thing I'll say about that. It's okay to try many things. And yes. It's okay for a lot of them to not work. It's okay for some of them to work some of the time. It's okay if it only works once. There's never a bad thing to try to get the shit done that you need to get done. You know?
Right.
There's no wrong way. So I'll just throw that out first of all. But one thing that has been tried and true for me throughout my many years of doing this, and especially the last couple of years when I've had a full-time job from home in addition to all the freelance writing that I do, the first thing is task triage. All right? Triage always really helps me put things in order and prioritize things. And triage is just exactly what it sounds like, is I look at everything I have to do and I go, okay, what is like the thing that absolutely has to be done right now or this whole system will fall apart? And then I go from there. And then I go down the line of, okay, these things I can put off till later. These things I can probably push till later in the week. These things aren't due until a few weeks from now. And then once I've done that, I look at the top of the list and that's the only thing I focus on. I fuck off the rest of it. Anything that is not, when I'm in this quivering gelatinous state, bro, I want to reiterate.
Sure.
Anything that is not, this must be done right now or the whole system will collapse, I don't do. I just focus on that one thing and then I go down the list from there. So task triage is the first thing I do. And you don't have to actually make a physical list. You can if you want to. Most of the time I don't. I just think of the things. And then I keep that one thing in mind. But it's a very simple thing to do. And it'll help clarify things for you. After
right.
I do that, I use a reward system. And I find this works for me very well, which is I basically go, get one thing done, and then you can have a thing. You know? Whether that
yeah.
thing is lunch, or a soda, or even just to sit and stare at the wall for 15 minutes. I'll be like, just do one thing. And that one thing doesn't even have to be completing the entire task. It just has to be in pursuit of completing that task. One concrete thing that will advance me forward.
Mm-hmm.
And if I do that thing, then I can have the thing. And then I just repeat that process until the thing is done. And that has gotten me through some of my absolute worst days doing this. So that would probably be the most helpful thing I can offer people who have trouble with schedule and routines and setting things aside and setting alarms for themselves and all that crap. You know?
Yeah.
It's really about, because the thing is, you tend to be very in the moment when you're in that mind frame, right? You tend to be very right now. You're like, well, I don't need to do this right now. No one is going to hold me accountable. And you're basically fucking your future self.
Yeah.
So you need to commit to the idea that, all right, I'm in the mind frame of, okay, I'm living in this moment. I have no ability to account for my future self. And you just need to own that moment and be like, okay, in this moment right now, I want this thing. I will just not have this thing or not allow myself this thing until I do this thing. And so you just work with the mind frame that you're in of living in that moment. You just restructure the moment a little bit. Works mm-hmm. for me. And I promise you, I'm fairly neurotypical, so I can't account for people who have actual things that inhibit these processes. But I am incredibly lazy, and I know that about myself. In my natural state, I would prefer to just do nothing. I'm very content doing nothing. It really freaks my wife out because Nikki is very go all the time. I am very like, I'll just fucking sit here. I don't even need stimulus. I just need silence. So working with that natural state, I can tell you these are the things that help me when I regress to that state, and schedules and routines and none of that crap helped me.
All the gelatinous stuff.
Yeah, when I regressed to my gelatinous, gray hair covered, quivering mass state.
When things get gelatinous, there's what you do. So I have a problem where I've tried to do all that, but see, I'm kind of an asshole. And so when I say, if I do X, I will get the reward Y, part of me does the thing that six-year-olds imagined adulthood is, which is, I'm an adult. I can have that whenever I goddamn want. And I'll usually go get that.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, who's holding me back? Me? Screw me. I'm going to have this cookie now. And so that doesn't work for me. I have found the weirdest thing, and this is not one weird thing. I don't know if it's going to work for everybody, but I get overwhelmed by to-do lists. I can't triage. I can't prioritize. Because if I prioritize and I look and I say, well, that one thing is the most important thing, but everything else is important too. And so if I do one thing, I'll ignore another thing. And then suddenly they all suffer. But I found something very weird that works for me. I've talked about this on I Should Be Writing, but I don't think I've talked about it here. And that is, remember when I said I wanted a boss? For some reason, it doesn't have to be a real boss. So I have allowed the random number generator to be my boss. I give everything on my list. I do write out a list, and I give everything on my list a number. And then I roll a random number generator, either a die or I pull one up online. And I do the number that gets rolled. And if I do have something that's on fire and it doesn't get rolled, then that gets another number. It's like gets another number on top of it. So it will have more chances to come up every time I don't do it. And it's like, I just needed someone to tell me, look, you got to do the fucking thing. And also I discovered that a lot of my time is spent not even procrastinating, because procrastinating makes it sound like you're doing something else. But a lot of my time is just fretting that I have too much to do. So if you think, like, if I do the random number generator and everything that comes up is, like, email and laundry, even if I do the email and laundry, I will still get a lot more done, including the important things, than if I just looked at my to-do list and decided myself what to do. And it makes me feel almost, like, mentally weak to say it. Like, I can't decide what to do, but if a random number generator / the universe, whatever, tells me what to do, I'll hop to it. But for some reason, that it works for me, and I can't explain why, but it does.
Hey, man, it works for Two-Face from Batman, so, like, you're in.
Shit. You know. It's not the best thing to hear, but you have a point.
Batman villain. But no, that's a great. The interesting thing about it is, like, that would never work for me, you know, because I would just keep rolling until I got the thing that I wanted to do the most or didn't want to do the least, you know. Mm-hmm.
So basically, you will follow the rule of, I will, if I do X, I will receive Y, and I don't do that. But yeah, if you roll the random number generator, you're going to say, yeah, no, I don't have to follow what you say. Screw you. I'm going to roll again. Interesting.
Because at the end of the day, like, you can do that. But my point I'm trying to make is everybody is different.
Yes.
You know, and you have to work. You just have to find the. Because the thing is, all of this, all the things we're putting forth are all arbitrary things.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you have to decide to commit to them or relent to them, rather. Any of them you can say, fuck this, it's not the boss of me.
Yeah.
I'm going to go the other way. It's all about finding the thing that makes sense to you. And, you know, I'm sorry if that isn't specific enough to help people who are like, well, the whole structure routine, that doesn't work for me. But at the end of the day, that's all it is, man. Like, I can throw out a million things, and then, like, the million and first thing will be the thing that makes sense to you. It's really about finding what works with your brain, and I don't know the intricacies of your brain. Everybody's different, you know. But, like, if you're having trouble like that, it's the best thing you can do. These are just some suggestions we're throwing out that might start you down the path or might work for your brain or might not. We don't know. But
right.
I don't know. You might be the kind of person who's just like, you know, you'll wait until 5 minutes before the thing's due and then kill yourself to get it done. Like, that's not a healthy way to work, but it may be your last resort. I don't know. I would recommend trying some of these things before relying on that, because I used to do that. It's not a good way to be.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a way, is what I'm saying. With whatever you got going on, it's you in a room. You have the time to do these things because you can't go outside. You can go outside, but you kind of can't go outside. So you got to find the thing that works for the brain that you have.
Yeah. One thing that may work for you, and it kind of works for me, is the Pomodoro method also. And that's
Wearing a hat?
No. Pomodoro is, I believe, French or Italian tomato.
I was thinking of the Pomodoro method. I apologize.
Yes, that's something else. No, the Pomodoro method is you work for 20 minutes and then you take a short break. It's called the Pomodoro method because the person who came up with it was working with a kitchen timer that was in the shape of a tomato.
I think we've talked about this before.
Yeah, I think so.
I remember the tomato, yeah.
But what's funny for me is that I am bad with breaks. And I know that I realize my mental health kind of suffers because if I take a break, my brain says I'm done. And it's not the best. It's like the break is supposed to be structured too. But like yesterday, I was doing Pomodoros with a friend of mine. So we'd say, okay, go, write for 20 minutes. And then when it was break time, I would get up and I would like go attend to the laundry, or I would get tea or something and then come back and see it had been another 20 minutes. And I'm good at doing we got to focus for 20 minutes on the task at hand. But then once it's relaxing time, my brain just fucks off.
Yeah, you mentally and emotionally detach, and then trying to get back into it is like a process unto itself.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, it always comes back to structure, which is why this is so unhelpful for people who struggle with structure. But like, I don't know what else to tell anybody. You know, you got to find structure that works for you.
Well, yeah, like you said, you've got to find what works for you, and maybe the stuff that works for you is. You tweak it. It's like that's the problem with people seeking advice, is that advice may not work for you, which is why we're trying to throw a bunch of stuff out there. One thing that doesn't work for me, but is often advice that I hear about working from home, is you have to make a strict border between workspace and home space. Like, when you're in your office, you don't do anything but work. And when you're outside of your office, you don't do work. It doesn't quite work for me, but I've heard it does for other people when they need that mental idea of this is workspace.
No, I get the concept. I mean, it does work for me and it doesn't. Like, I have an office in my home, and I'm very grateful for the space to work and write. But yeah, I don't know. Everything kind of everything ends up spilling over into everything else at some point. You know, so yeah. it's not sacrosanct. Also, a lot of people just don't have the space to make that happen. You know, some people are in a studio apartment writing in bed. I used to do that. Like, it doesn't work for everybody. I think it's more the idea of that mental separation. You mm-hmm. know, maybe you could wear a hat. Maybe the pompadour method could be a real thing.
Okay, let's work that out.
I put my work hat on, and mm-hmm. when my hat is on, I'm working, and this is my office. And when I take this hat off, this is no longer my office. It's my living space, and I chill.
That's actually a really good signal to your family if they're at home with you.
No, I mean, that's a real thing. A lot of have that anyway. They have, like, their writing, you know, attire or their writing item or thing that they put on, you know. It's like Michael Douglas in the robe in Wonder Boys. It's, you know, a lot of writers have that anyway. But I'm saying the pompadour method. Get a pompadour. Try it. You never know. Maybe wearing a hat is the thing that will keep you on task. It doesn't have to be a pompadour. It could be any kind of hat that you like.
No, I want a hat.
Maybe different hats.
I have a lot of hats.
You have a lot of hats and a lot of feathers that go in those hats.
That's true.
But yeah, you could have a different hat for different tasks, you know? You could assign a different hat to each task. And when you swap the hats, that's when you do the tasks.
Hmm.
I could make a whole book out of this and sell it.
You could.
And it would be more successful than anything I have ever done or will ever do in my career, Mark.
You're looking down a dark hole here, and I'd like to pull you back.
No, it's the truth, though. I could write the Pompadour Method and fill it with all this stuff, and it would probably be, like, that would be the thing. Not doing that is keeping me from being as successful as I possibly could be, and I should just do it. I really should. I should just commit to being that person. Not like I wouldn't be providing value. It's not a bad idea. It's not like an amazing idea, but, you know. I mean, if you're into cosplay, it's a great idea, because then you get to buy a bunch of hats.
That's true. It's time to go hat shopping.
And you can write all of those hats off, because they're work hats.
Yes.
That'd be a whole chapter in The Pompadour Method by Matt Wallace, how to write off your work hats. I'd include forms. That would fill up a few more pages.
Mm-hmm.
I'm liking this. I'm liking where this is going. This may be my quarantine project.
Okay.
When they finally lock down California, I'm going to write The Pompadour Method, and I'm going to make it happen. And you'll get an acknowledgement, Mur. You won't get co-credit or anything, and I certainly won't share the profits with you. But you'll be in the acknowledgements, for sure.
You really know how to make something sound special, man.
I know. So yeah. I love that we're probably going to end up ending on The Pompadour Method, by the way. I did, all bullshit aside, like, there is some validity there. Like, but it goes back to that idea of, like, switching your mind frame into work mode, you know? Even if you don't have a physical office, finding a way to switch your mind into work mode can be a good and helpful thing to do, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Figure out what you can do. And then, of course, wash your hands and consider your new greeting to be, hey, how you doing? Washed your hands lately? I'm trying to get that going. So.
Yeah, no. I like that. It's not annoying at all.
Yeah. It's,
I think we should, again, I keep going back to hats, but I think, you know, a little doff with a cap. That's what I'm going back to.
Yeah, Jim was saying something like that, yeah.
You know why? Because Jim is stately.
Yeah, he's stately.
He's stately.
Have you ever called him stately?
I have not, but, you know, I just, in my head, it totally made sense. I was like, What was an adjective that would describe that aspect of Jim? I was like, you know what? Jim is fucking stately.
Mm.
And I've never had a more sincere thought than that. I'm in no way mocking Jim. Jim, and I would not ascribe stately to just any random or.
Oh, I know.
But in my mind, Jim is a stately dude. So
I'll tell him.
Please let him know. It's important to me. But no, yeah, wash your hands, don't, you know, avoid, not all physical contact, just, you know, physical contact with everybody you encounter randomly on the street. You shouldn't be just going around touching people anyway. So I think
we've seen what happens when you do that. Assholes have tried to screw around and make fun of people by doing that, and then, whoa, wait a minute, they got sick. Who saw that coming?
Yeah. Yeah, don't be the ironic... Here's the thing, man. Like, it's not the apocalypse, all right? Like, we're gonna like survive to learn nothing from this. It's gonna be fine. But that doesn't mean be the asshole's like, oh, this is nothing to worry about. I'm gonna run around touching things just to prove how much I don't care about this. Take it fucking seriously, you know? That's how it stops it from becoming the apocalypse, is by people taking it at least semi-seriously.
Yeah.
So at the very least, at the absolute minimum, don't be the ironic touching everything guy just to prove that the coronavirus thing is no big deal. For love of God, don't be that guy.
Well, we know that guy. He just like screwed the NFL for the or the NBA, right? Sorry.
Yeah, he went around touching all the microphones or whatever, and then he got sick, right?
Yeah. And then they just canceled all the things. So
yeah, that guy is why you don't have basketball now.
Yes,
see, that's what fucking happens when you're that guy. You lose basketball. Or the equivalent thing that you would care about if you don't care about basketball.
Yeah.
But I take it basketball is very important to a great many people because people are irate.
Oh, yes.
So,
but you know, they probably would have canceled it anyway because That hasn't happened in college basketball, and still, like I said, the college basketball stuff is being canceled, so.
Yeah, but still, you would have had a few more games if not for that asshole, so there mm-hmm. you go. Don't be that asshole, that's all
Don't
I'm saying.
Don't be that asshole.
Yeah, wash your hands, avoid, you know, avoid non-essential gatherings of large groups of people.
Yeah.
Consider whether you really want to take advantage of all those cheap flights. And consider the cost.
Yeah, I texted my agent this morning just telling her I was thinking about her because she's on some essential travel. And I'm just a little worried about her, but hoping that she, you know, makes it home all healthy and stuff.
Jen's a bad bitch. She'll be fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, so all of those things. Also consider the pompadour method. We're going to make it a thing, Mark.
All right, we're going to make it a thing. I got to get a podcasting hat. I mean, I have plenty of hats. I have to assign a podcasting hat. I don't need to go out and buy a podcasting hat.
See how applicable this is, how easily applied this is, Mark? You made it a thing in like 2 seconds.
Yeah.
You are the living pompadour method.
Whoa.
I know. That got heavy real fast. But still, I am getting sole credit for the book. So,
dude, well, you're going to do all the work on the book. I'm just going to...
In quarantine, after the lockdowns finally reached the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
I have so many friends working on things who text me throughout the day. They're working like marketing for events and shit. They're like, it's really hard doing all this knowing it's all just going to end up getting canceled. And yeah. I feel for it. I really do. But, you know.
Yeah. We haven't bought our tickets to WorldCon yet. We bought memberships to WorldCon, but not the plane tickets. We'd wanted to go because, you know, Jim had always wanted to go see New Zealand, but we have no idea what's going to happen. Not even like with air travel, and it's going to be winter there. And I don't know. It's just, it feels stupid to worry about that in freaking, it's going to be happening in July, but still.
Yeah, but it's not, dude. Because the thing is, July is going to be here tomorrow. You know? Not literally, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, we think all these things are happening way in the future. It's a few months, man. Like, it's you got to err on the side of caution at this point, I feel like, because you just don't know, you know? If you do go, will you bring me back a Hobbit, though?
I will.
Cool.
Definitely.
Always wanted a Hobbit. Just to hang out with and smoke a pipe.
Sure, you know, if I can fit it in my luggage.
Yeah. Well, they're compact, so it's fine.
Yeah. All right. Is there anything on Twitter, or did you ask out Twitter?
We do have a few questions, Murr, but I think we're going to have to save them for another day because you have a hard out.
Yes.
You have a hard out in less than 10 minutes.
But I got 10 minutes.
You sure?
Yeah.
You want to live dangerously? You want to ride it?
I do.
Rails. I'm filling time because I really didn't think we were going to do it, so now I got to bring it back up.
I was wondering why you were taking our precious time to ask me if I was sure.
Danger is my middle name. Important question! Asks the writer Jason M. on Twitter. Isn't the food printer basically a space deli? Hashtag ditch digger.
Ah, yes. The, what is referring to is the fact that, yeah. In my book, I say it's a clone murder mystery in space, and Matt always wants me to do a clone murder mystery in a deli.
And you always make it clear that it's not about a space deli.
Right.
Even though a space deli is an amazing idea.
But see, now we gotta wonder, like, what defines a deli?
Cold cuts.
Okay. Well, there's no cold cuts. I guess maybe there are cold cuts in the book. I can't remember.
There's food.
Well, yeah, there's definitely food. There's a food printer. It's kind of important to the book.
Yeah. So that's why he's asking, isn't a food printer basically space deli?
I guess if you use the food printer to make cold cuts and you have a big counter, I think a counter is important in a deli too, and pickles.
I mean, the pickles, I don't think, you don't have to have pickles. The counter, it kind of necessitates a counter, but... I don't know. I feel like this is you admitting, finally, after all these years, that 6 weeks is about a space deli.
No, because that still implies something that's very not 6 weeks.
Kind of feel like I'm finally winning this argument. I feel like
it wasn't an argument. It was never an argument.
It was a little bit an argument.
Now we're arguing about whether it's an argument or not. This is very Monty Python. Are there any other comments? Look, are you still trying to fill time?
I didn't ask him to ask this question. Apparently this is on people's minds, Mark. They want this issue settled between us, so we need to settle
people.
It.
It's people.
And the way to settle it is for you to admit that you wrote a book about a space deli, and no. Then we have, and then we can move on. That's all.
No. I still think a deli implies a lot more than cold cuts. A deli is a business establishment, and it definitely is not that. You got to give me that.
I know, I will give you that realistically. I want the book to be about a space deli. I don't
want,
you know.
Why don't you just let me write a book about a space deli?
Well, then write a book about a space deli. I'm not stopping you.
All right.
I would love it if you'd write a book that's explicitly about it. I'd like you to stop implying the space deli, Mar. That's really what it is. I feel like your whole career, you've been dancing around the space deli.
My whole career, really?
And it's time to just come out and write a story about a space deli. So, write a story about a space deli, man. Make yourself happy. It's not about me. It's about,
it is totally about you. You're demanding this.
I want you to be happy, and I feel like this is what will make you happy. That's all I'm saying. You know what's going to happen now? Way more people are going to ask questions about the space deli. They're going to make it a thing. I had mostly let it go. Like, honestly, I had gotten to the point with the bit where I'd only remembered it if you would bring it up at the end of an episode. Mm-hmm. And now it's going to be a thing again, and it's going to be terrible. So that's Jason's fault. You can kill him.
Okay.
What else do we got here? Mr. Inktail asks, been listening to your podcast, and I wanted to ask if you're going to have a room of infinite possibilities, a.k.a. a room of infinite bullshit, where you can watch your story scenes play out to make sure you're writing it correctly. Wow, that goes to another level.
It does. I'm not sure.
I mean, I don't know what the zoning permits are like to build
That's
something
true.
Like that.
That's true.
You know? It's very good place-like, which I enjoy. I do think we should have a shrimp cocktail dispenser in one of the rooms.
Oh, yes.
I will say that outright.
With a secret flavor.
Of course, there has to be a secret flavor. And that secret flavor is space deli.
Secret flavor is white chocolate.
Our secret flavor will be space deli.
Are there any other questions?
Yeah. I want to have my two main characters fall in love with each other, but it seems people just want them to be friends. Is this the part where I pull the it's my story card, or do I be business-minded about it?
See, I saw that, and here's my problem. Who's people?
Like beta readers or alpha readers or whatever. That would be my assumption. I know it's never good to assume because you make an ass out of you and Uma Thurman.
Mm-hmm.
And what did Uma do, Mer? What did Uma do to you? Nothing.
Nothing.
Not a goddamn thing. Anyway, but yeah, that's what I assume would be. But even if, like, whatever the answer is, I feel like whatever the answer to that question is, that's also kind of, that question that you asked, Mer, is kind of the answer to this question. And sort of like, well, who are these people, though? What makes them the authority?
Yeah.
I did a little, you can't see the emotion I made with my hands. It was like, well, who made them the authority?
Yeah.
That didn't help. It didn't help illustrate anything. Yeah, I get the core of the question. I'm not sure it's actually a business question. I think this actually boils down to more of a craft question.
I think it's a business question in that if you trust the people, if it's like your writer's group or your agent or your editor.
Yeah, if it's I give you that. If it's like an agent or editor and it's about a piece of work, yeah. But I would say that's the cutoff, though. I don't even know, like, writer's group, I don't know if that counts as business-minded. I know it's a subtle distinction, but I think it's one you need to make. I actually think that's an important distinction to make for yourself, though. Because one of the big things, especially when you start trying to sell stuff, is like, you have to decide who to listen to.
Exactly.
And
that's very important.
That is a really big one. Like, when you get them, like literally, you're choosing agents, editors, you're choosing professional people to listen to. And we're also always going to still have beta readers who are not technically publishing industry professionals. Nikki, my wife, is not a publishing industry professional, but I trust her opinion immensely, and she reads everything I write first. So I'm not saying don't have non-publishing industry professional people that you listen to, but it's just, it's very important who you decide, whose opinion you decide to make a business opinion, you know?
Yes.
So that would be my overriding answer to this question before even getting into what you should do with your particular story or whatever is, are the people you're referencing, are they really the people you want to listen to on a business level and not just a craft level, you know?
Sure. And as for everything else, I'd look at whether it's done or not. And if it's not done, if it's still in progress, finish it with them in love. If it is done, I would say, I always like to take examples. I like to see what other people have done. And go off and read a romance and see what happens in the chemistry between the two main characters that you like and see if there's anything that your characters do not have in that chemistry consideration.
Absolutely. And you should be reading more romance anyway. People shit on romance all the time. It's an amazing genre. Go read some romance. Whatever genre you're in, go read some romance. Tons you can learn from it.
Oh, yeah. People shit on it because, you know, you always get a happily ever after. You always know what's going to happen. I'm like, well, you know what's going to happen in a psychological thriller. You know what's going to happen in a murder mystery. So
It's not any more predictable or tropey than any other genre there is. Especially... Yeah. You know, when it's done really well, which it is a lot out there. So go out and read some goddamn romance, people. That's the thought I want to end the show with.
Yeah, all right. Pompadour method. Romance. There we go.
Coming at you. Pompadour method. Pompadour, not Pompadoro.
Pompadoro is a hat that's shaped like a tomato.
It is. It's a tomato hat method. That's going to be the sequel to the Pompadour method.
Yeah, I'll write that one. And then you can yell at me for stealing your ideas.
And then we can sue each other.
Ooh, fun.
Disintegration. It can be like our Behind the Music, VH1 Behind the Music story.
Oh, excellent. I'm so excited. I want to do, can we do drugs? Can we have a drug problem?
Yeah, we got, one of us has to crash a car.
Okay.
And yeah, maybe we'll make it happen. We'll roll big time like our idols.
I am on board with this. This is going to be awesome. Epic. All right. If you want to see us before we crash and burn in our VH1 Behind the Music, you can find me at mightymer@gmail.com and merverse.com, where you can buy my book, which is not about a space deli. I'm very sorry, but it's called Six Wakes, and people seem to like it.
Totally is about a space deli. Sure. I'm on Twitter at @MattEffenWallace, and I have a book coming out July 21st called Savage Legion. And I don't know if I'll be able to go out in public and promote it. So I really appreciate it if you'd go pre-order that for me.
You know, during the quarantine, it's a great time to read.
It is. It's a great time to read. And, yeah, buy books and read them. It'll help out authors a lot. And that is another something we want to talk about is all the events being canceled because of the pandemic thing. But we can do that in our next episode, which we will try to, again, record and get out in a timely fashion. While all these things are going on.
Yes, and then we'll get in the habit of doing it, and then we'll keep it up.
It is. Really, at the end of the day, the pandemic is going to solve all our problems. It's not. I'm going to solve all the problems. Nor should it.
Oh, boy. All right. I'll see you next time, Matt.
See you next time, Matt.
You can support us at patreon.com/mightymer.
Ditch Diggers!
Theme song by Devo Spice. DevoSpice.com.